Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. I'm your host, Danang.
And I'm your co-host, Crystal.
For today's episode, let's go ahead and just jump in with a clip.
Stop telling your visions to other people, because they're not going to see it. Why you think you keep imagining opening a business? Why you keep imagining graduating, getting a better job? Why do you keep imagining buying a house? Why do you keep imagining driving a really nice car? Why do you keep imagining getting rich one day? Why do you keep imagining that? Because God is talking to you. He's showing you something that he has for you.
Yeah, so that was the clip for today. Steve Harvey has a lot of great words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I think... I've heard that one a couple times here and there, but I think for today's episode, I think it's going to really tie in. I really wanted to talk about something that I used to do and something that I know a lot of people do, and that is tell people what they're going to do.
Oh, rather than actually doing it.
Yeah. When people tell people what they're gonna do, I feel like it's almost I don't want to say jinxing it, but it's almost like a false,
it really is like jinxing it, though, because you're telling somebody and then now you've set yourself up for like this huge list of things that you said you were gonna do. Mm-hmm. And now that you're not doing it, it's like, oh, like there's a lot of pressure that comes from just talking about it.
Well, not only that, but I think talking about it and doing it are two extremely different things. When you're talking about it, you're talking about a final goal, a final destination, right? You're talking about the end product of something that you've either seen or you want.
But isn't, like, for example, if, you know, like, that scenario where, like, I'm telling you, oh, I'm going to do this, 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 isn't it almost like setting myself up for failure? Because if I'm telling you all this, you're expecting it. And if I don't do it, it's like, oh.
See, yeah, if you're the kind of person that is looking for affirmation, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. You're going to set yourself up for failure because other people are expecting it. But for those that don't really seek that affirmation, right, it's just me saying, oh, I'm going to do this, then it doesn't matter, because you're not the kind of person that would, and like, I'm not the kind of person that seeks for affirmation. I'm the kind of person that I seek for my own shit, and that's all that matters to me. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about, you know, talking things through with people, right? When you when you're telling people about a goal, or when you're telling people about what you're going to do, you're telling people about the final product. Mm-hmm. What people don't put into consideration is how hard that middle part is, the actually doing it phase. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, well, you know, in 4 years, I'm going to graduate university, and then I'm going to go and become a doctor, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Well, you know what? You got 4 years. So how about you just focus on getting through the first year?
That's fair.
Majority of the people never get past the first year because, number one, it's either too hard, or number two, it's just something that they realize they don't like doing. And then so you put yourself through 4 years of misery because you've already said it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saying shit like that, it just doesn't do good for anyone. Like, no one needs to hear what you're gonna do. Just do it.
Yeah.
And I used to be a victim to that, right? I used to do that where it was kind of just like, hey, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. And then when it came time to doing it, it was like, oh, fuck, it's extremely hard. But it took me a long time to, and this is a little harsh, but it took me a long time to just shut the fuck up and focus on what I needed to do and just do what I needed to do.
You are the type of person, even now too, like, you know, you've done a lot of things very successfully, so, and you've been able to help your dad in doing things too, you know, with that success. Like he's some of it he's invested in. Excuse me. But you don't talk about it. So why is that? Like, because I, you know, a lot of people would have these questions too. Why, if someone they know have been able to do something successful, but they don't talk about it, why is that? Don't, like, wouldn't you want to, you know, let
people I just know don't seek for people's, I don't seek for people's approval. I don't care for people. To me, people are just like, and I don't mean I don't care in a way where it's like, it's, you know, like in a sense where it's like, I don't care about your feelings. But what I mean by that is I just don't give a fuck about what you think. Mm-hmm. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. Mm-hmm. You work your job. Let me go work mine. Let me go do what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. If you're good at what you do, then you go do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But for me, where I come from is, I spent years learning everything that I've learned. And I'm talking about years. So I will only teach those that I truly trust and those that are on my side. Mm-hmm. And those that want to be taught.
Yeah.
There are so many people out there in the world that are like, oh, you know, I want to learn how to do this. But when the right people come and teach them, what do they do? They're always like, oh, I don't need you to teach me. I'm good. You know, fuck your teachings. For me, I don't need people to be like, oh, good job. You know, that's what you're going to do? Good job. I don't need that. I'm at a point in my life where it's like, yo, fuck everyone's opinion. I'm doing what I'm doing because right now, my mom and my dad are at, like, my mom and my dad are still young.
Yeah, they are.
So let me suffice for their old age when it comes.
Yeah.
So let me prep for that by myself. I don't need other people to help. Mm-hmm. I don't need other people to know what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know, I ask this because, like, for me, like, I know why, but I know there are a lot of people that listen and watch us, you know, that probably have the same questions too. But because I've been with you through every step, you're able to suffice for the both of us, because I don't, like, outside of, you know, podcasting and helping you with, you know, certain events if you need me, I don't work. So you have pretty much sufficed for the both of us for the whole entire year. And for me, that I consider that a success, because to take care of two people, not just one, is hard, because you've lived where you had to take care of yourself mostly, you know, for so long. And so I know that a lot of people that you consider family or friends, you know, they I feel like they look down on you because you don't ever talk about all your successes, you know, like all the good things that have happened to you. And so because you don't talk about it, they think you're doing shit all, like, you know.
And I agree, because I do see what you're talking about. And I see that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I've also learned from a lot of my mentors to just shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. What speaks is not what is being said. What speaks more is your level of happiness right now. So for me, I'm extremely happy because it's like you said, excuse me. It's like you said, I get to provide. Mm-hmm. I get to provide for you. And you know what? I get to do what I do for my dad and my mom. And, you know, I think the level of success for me, like the levels of success for me, they may not be levels of success on a huge level that like other people out there are trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. 12 million followers on Instagram, you know, this kind of fame. I've never wanted that. What I wanted was a comfortable life. Mm-hmm. And a comfortable life while having a happy life.
Yeah, because you've never been about, oh, making millions, you know, and then getting that, you know, 12-bedroom mansion and having, like a Rolls Royce and, like, all that crap. You've always said, okay, if I make money, I'll make money. But I just want to be comfortable, like you said. Yep. That's why it makes me sad to see that a lot of people don't see that as well. And you know, when it comes to, like I said, I'm not going to name anybody. When it comes to, you know, friends, family, acquaintances, you know, people that look down on you, it's sad because you're doing well. Like, it shows, like I said, you're taking care of the both of us.
And,
you know?
You know what? Like, and I can, and I attribute all that to when your mom left. Because when your mom left was when I had to work extremely hard at my career. Mm-hmm. Because I needed to suffice for not only you, but your sister as well. And to make sure that I could buy food for you guys. To make sure that I could, you know, give you guys money if you guys needed it. So every time your sister went on a school trip that your mom wasn't going to pay for because she was out of the country then, okay, I made sure that I had the money. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that, you know, everything was up to par with where I needed to be with that certain circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I worked extremely hard because I understood what needed to be done. And then, you know, when your baby sister was born, I also needed to suffice for that just in case anything were to happen. Mm-hmm. To make sure that I had the money to be able to assist when I needed to assist. You know, it's the small things of making sure that my car was maintenance so that when we took your baby sister and we put a car seat in, nothing was going to go wrong. That everything in the car was okay and that, you know, your mom could trust the fact that, you know, I could drive your baby sister and you guys to wherever and that you guys needed to go. And that came with a lot of discipline because I had to for you guys. And so now, you know, because of all the discipline coming up to that point and up to this point, I've been able to stay disciplined with how I live my life here. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean for everyone else. It's like, look, you guys talk a lot of shit. Like, you guys talk a lot about where you guys want to be, but not where you guys are right now. And at the end of the day, that's going to bite you in the ass. That's going to bite you so hard in the ass. People don't need to know where you're going. You know? People don't need to know where you're going. People just need to know that where you are is where you are. Mm-hmm. And that you're happy. That's it. At the end of the day, you know, like, I think it's hard to say to keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. It is, because sometimes when you're going down these journey and down this road, there are certain things that happen and you want to share that with people.
Mm-hmm. So if people like talk shit or they're, you know, doubting you, thinking you're like, for example, like a bum bitch, you know? So I feel like, yeah, there are times where I feel like you should say something, just because no one has the right to tell you who you are as a person, you know, like,
yeah.
and where your values and your morals are, because that's not their place. They don't know you.
Yeah. And for that, it's a pick and choose game of picking and choosing wisely what to say and how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
In a way where, you know, it won't hurt you. Right, I choose not to speak about certain things in my career because people just don't need to know. Let me do the work. Let me do the work so that the results happen. When the results happen, then, you know, that's the difference between me and everyone else. You know, I've spent majority of my career failing. And with failure came a lot of things that I learned. And that's what I'm actually kind of proud about, was being able to fail successfully. And that's something that people are afraid to do, is fail. Because success doesn't come without failure.
Mm-hmm. But like, you also understand that failing is a scary thing, because sometimes failing, you can't get out of that hole that you've created, because sometimes failing means financially failing, you know? For you, financially, you were in a tough spot, you know, because you had to, if you had a team, you had to pay for your team. But if it's you, you had to make sure that you could, you know, pay your bills and put gas in your car to get you to where your project is.
Yeah.
And so failing is very scary, but at the same time, you don't know what comes out of it if you don't fail. You know, for you, you failed, but there was something good that came out of it too, and you met your mentor along the way during that path.
You know, there was another clip that I was going to pick, right? Oh, no, it wasn't a clip. It was what you said yesterday. Oh. What was it?
give me a second. Let me check.
I think what you said there has so much volition.
Okay, give me a second. Oh, wrong group chat. Sorry, we have one just for that. So it was also by Steve Harvey, and it was, "The risk you're afraid to take could change your life."
And that is what failing is. Mm-hmm. It's a risk, but you got to be willing to take it. Mm-hmm. Whether it changes your life for the bad or for the good, you got to be willing to take it. You got to be willing to take it for the bad, because you know what? You ain't know what's at the bottom of the pit. Mm-hmm. You're going to live your life forever blinded by the glory that we are born in this world to see. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, like, I'm going to talk about your normal Canadian and your normal American. We're born in a house. We're born with this. We're born with that. Mm-hmm. That's our glory. But outside, in that real world, it don't work like that.
Yeah.
Outside, they don't give a shit that you have a house. They don't give a shit about your skin color. They don't give a shit about how high of a position you hold in your life. They don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And so that's what risks are. To take that risk to understand certain things about life that will teach you about life. And I was happy enough and I was lucky enough to have taken many risks in my life. Some fucked a lot of my life up. Mm-hmm. But majority of that also changed my career and the way I thought and the way I do certain things. It's because of my risk and my failures that have allowed for me to sit here in front of a mic and, you know, do a podcast.
Mm, and talk about it too.
Exactly. But that comes with a lot of risk. That comes with a lot of, you know, like, I don't want to say gambling, because, you know, you got to gamble smart. And life is about gambling smart. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if we were to live our lives the way our parents had wanted it, would we be here?
No.
You know? That's the thing, is our parents tried to, we as people and one day as parents will always try to protect our child.
Of course. And I don't blame them for that, because as parents, we want to make sure our children aren't hurt by all the bad that's outside of the four walls that they grow up in. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the small bubble. But sometimes it's like, if you do that, they're also missing some crucial life lessons.
Yeah.
You know, because for you, you were very lucky, but it also took a lot of convincing and time for your parents to also learn to let go too, for you to go off, do your own thing, learn the hard way, and then come back.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Is we go through our life thinking that we have to be taught. You know, that's what school is. It's supposed to teach you. And our parents are supposed to teach us. But there is a moment in our life where you got to take that risk and be willing to teach your parents. And mm-hmm. be willing to teach other people now.
Yeah. You know, because, and it's like you said, our parents are people who are supposed to teach us. School is supposed to teach us as well, too, just like you said. But there are things in life that even school and, like, our parents cannot teach us.
Yep.
Because we either don't want to be taught by them, or they don't know how to teach us.
Yep.
And it goes back to what I said, was that you have to go off and take that risk and really take a gamble. It really is like gambling. You have to take a gamble and hope that there's a 50-50 chance, hoping that you are going to do well, or, you know, if you fail, that's fine. You learned, and then you just take another risk.
You know, and this is something that I've talked about quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. Because I come from a family where I think to say the strong one is my mom, because she was the one that veered off the natural flow of how my family my family's mindset worked.
Yeah, because your mom is very... No, I don't want to say she is, because she grew up in a very traditional household, and your dad as well, too. And but your mom was the first, from all the stories that I've seen, and even now when I see it too, she's the first to break the mold. Yeah. Because, you know, there are things that she has learned as a daughter, but as a mom as well too, that allowed her to see the other side and break that mold.
And you know what it is? Like, I also contributed to my mom still being quite young.
That's
my
true.
Mom is only in her, I think, early 40s.
My mom is 40... I think we had this conversation. I said she was 43, but she said she was like 44, 45.
Yeah, so I think my mom is still in her mid to early 40s.
Yeah, she's like...
But I also contribute that to her age, but to her job. Because my mom's a hairstylist, so a master stylist.
Oh, right. And she meets a lot of, you know, young people from and, different age groups.
Mm-hmm. And I contribute to that because my mom sees a lot. And... My mom is the one that made us go work when we were young. And, you know, I think that had a lot to do with the start of this changing of mindset for my family, where it was like, okay, you go make your kids work, and then you make them pay certain things, you make them start to understand certain things, and when it came time to me leaving the house, you know, yeah, I left. But, you know, and I know that it was a hard time for my mom and my dad. But I'm also grateful because my mom is so, like, she's got such a strong heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she had faith that her kid was going to come back to her. And I did. And now it's made me see certain things in this life where it's like, it's not only the parents that are here to teach us, but it's us here to teach the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go and I had to sit down and teach my parents about my job. Teach my parents about what I do, how I do things. Teach my parents about how this natural world now works from my perspective. Mm-hmm. So that they understand a little bit more about the world. Mm-hmm. And don't see it just from their side.
You know, your parents' learning has been... Like, your parents, it's great that they're willing to learn, because a lot of people, especially around that age, I'm not saying that, you know, they're, like, just too old to learn, but they really are stuck in their ways because they've been like that for so long. And so the fact that they're so open and so willing to accept these changes and learn along with you and like, slowly adapt to with time, I truly think it's an amazing thing, because not a lot of parents can do that, because like it is hard for them because they've been that way for so long.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to, you know, how I am as a person, you know, there are certain things that my parents don't like about me, but there are certain things that my parents also have to understand, that I am the way I am because of everything that I've gone through when I wasn't with them. Mm-hmm. And they understand that. And that's what I'm kind of, you know, and that's what I've taken away from my relationship with my parents, is that I can't expect these people to be the way I see them as. You know, that's why with your sister, and if we were to talk about this, right? With your sister, when I said what I said, when I texted her what I said before she left, I said it in a way where, because I was there as a kid too,
mm-hmm.
that once you walk away and you've made decisions on your own, you are no longer attached to your mom's hip.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're no longer attached, walk away and live your life and let your mom heal. Because I had to do the same for my parents. Let them heal. Let them heal from the pain that we put them through. Let them heal from the scars that we put upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as kids, yes, it's not an easy thing to do. it's not to hurt our parents.
Yeah.
But for humans to learn, I think pain is one of those things that humans learn from the best. We learn from our pain and we learn from our actions the best, because those are already set in stone. We've set them. Now, when we walk back, we're going to feel it. And, you know, for my instance, I let my parents heal. And then I came back. And my relationship got better because now there were certain things that I understood about them and what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it goes the same with you. Was when you walked away and you came back, now there were certain things that you understood what your mom was doing. Mm-hmm. Now you could understand your mom from a different perspective and not from a childish perspective.
Yeah. You know, I understood it, but doesn't mean I'm going to agree with it.
Exactly.
Probably not. But I mean, that's life.
You don't need to agree with it, though.
We are our own individual. We are two very different people. And so I can understand it and I can appreciate all the hard work that she's put in and all the struggles that she's gone through. I appreciate that. But do I agree with her actions to get there? No. But it's like I said, that's just how I am as a person. Mm-hmm. But I love my mom for it.
Yeah, know? But you just got to gauge your situation and see, do you need to say something?
Yeah.
You know, because this whole thing goes back to the clip, right? Is if we were to incorporate what Steve Harvey said into situations like this, there are certain things that you don't need to say.
Yeah,
that's you know, true. You look at someone and you look at your situation, and it's exactly like I've said before, right? I don't need to like someone. But just because I don't like someone also doesn't mean I don't need to go and say something. Mm-hmm. You watch your mouth. When you watch your mouth, it teaches you to be a better person. It teaches you to be a more compassionate person. Someone will come by and say something. Yeah, anyone's gonna get riled up. But if you learn how to shut your mouth once, shut your mouth twice, you'll learn how to shut it the third time too. And this goes for life, you know? Like, there are certain things that you should say. And then there are certain things that you just keep quiet. Because you don't need to say it.
Yeah. You know, that's that's hard for me. But, you know, just because of how, like, family dynamics are, I just don't say anything. Because obviously, one, it's not my business. But two, I don't want to start shit or, you know, have people, you know. You know how it is. But there are times where I'm sitting there and I'm just like, because I know what people think about you and I know what they see. And you don't care to a certain extent, mm-hmm. you know. But I get so annoyed because I see how hard you work. And I'm just saying this from my perspective. I see how hard you work. I see how giving you are. So when people say shit, I really just want to get in their face and just tell them to shut up. But I know that, like, that at the end of the day, I'm still not going to say anything. But it's, like, inside, like, because I hear it, I get so upset. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, this goes back, right? Is in life, you're gonna have differences of opinions, right? And this goes between you and your partner and how you guys deal with certain situations. And in this kind of a situation, you know, I'm glad that you understand how I am. Because you understand how I am, that's why you don't go and say something. That's why you keep your mouth shut, too. Because for me, it's just, at the end of the day, I don't give enough shits to care for what people say. Mm-hmm. It's just too much work. I have more things to worry about. I have better things to worry about. I have better things to think about. Yeah. This podcast is something that I think about all the time. I don't need to think about what other people think and say. What matters to me are the people that are close to me in my heart. You know, it's something. I love my family and I love my friends. But at the end of the day, I've also understood that a lot of what I do is for myself. For myself and the end goal that I have for myself. And that at the end of that goal, if they are there, my friends and family are there to reap the benefits that I have output, then great. Let's share my wealth. Let's share my happiness. Let's share the prosperity. But for me, my only goal is to get there. It is not my goal to bring everyone on board. Mm-hmm. That's just how I think. At the end of the day, you know what? Family goes beyond blood.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
And you know, and it's like I'm a huge Supernatural fan, and this is something that Dean says to I can't remember what his name is, but I say I'm a huge Supernatural fan, but I don't even know the guy's name.
That Castiel guy?
No, he says it to the king of demons, or the king of hell.
Okay.
And he says, because the king of hell is talking to him, he's saying something to him like, yeah, but that's family. And then Dean says to him, yeah, but family don't end in blood. And it's 100% true. Family does not end in blood. If family ends in blood, that ain't no family. That's just fucking stupidity. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you got to gauge what is family to you. At the end of the day, as you grow older in life, yes, family matters a lot. Family is everything in my life.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes your own blood can fail you without realizing it.
Mm-hmm. And look, I'm always there for second chances. I'm always there for all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But it's also up to the other person to be willing to make that sacrifice to change as well. So I will be there with my hand out. But if you slap my hand, hey, I'll still be there, but I'm not going to put up my hand now. Mm-hmm. You got to work hard. And it's something that my mom taught me, you know, was, and this is something that I've taught you, and this is something I've taught your sister, is respect and trust when we are family is given already. Mm-hmm. But when it is broken, it is 100 times harder to get back.
Yeah. And that's something that I, at first, you know, when I heard it like long time ago, I, it's not that I didn't believe in it, but I just thought it was, okay, yeah, no, it's true, but how hard do you really have to work? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But slowly, as I'm like, you know, going through the relationship and, you know, like now trying to build back trust with all the people that have been in my life, you know, mm-hmm. especially my family, with my family, it's hard because they have to build back trust with me, but I also have to build back trust with them. So it's like a mutual mm-hmm. trust building. And it's hard. It's not easy because yeah. you have to trust that they've changed, and you have to trust that if they don't learn now, they will learn eventually, but you have to be patient with them. And it's very, patience is the hardest because you don't want to be hurt the same way again. But at the same time, it's like, how far until, you know, there's a possibility they will revert back to how they were before.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to say it this way, right? Is you got to look at it this way. It is not when trust and respect is broken. It is not we meet 50-50. It is you work the whole 100% and they'll work the whole 100%. And that's how you build your trust and your respect again. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, like, when I went back and I apologized to Justin and Annie, it wasn't, I'll work 50%. It was, let me work 100% so that you guys know that I'm being as real as I can. Mm-hmm. Here and there, you know, I'll message Annie and I'll message Justin. Hey, how you guys doing? What's up? Hey, I'm in town, you know, like this kind of shit. You know, like I try to do the best that I can. And that's what I mean is you got to work the whole 100%. It's not going to be easy. But you also got to understand something is that the relationship that you had is not going to be the same relationship that you will have when you get back that trust and that respect. Mm-hmm. It'll be 100 times different. And sometimes it's for the better and sometimes it's for the worse.
Yeah, because some people aren't willing to let go of the past or they're willing to let go of the grudge, but they'll still remember every single pain, every single thing you've said to them.
Yeah.
So the relationship dynamic will change completely. And that's something that I know firsthand too, because of a mutual friend of ours, but she's more so like my friend.
Yeah.
So the dynamic between us is completely different from how it was before. And it's not that I can't say I trust her, but
But you know what it is too, right? It's not even that. It's just growth, personal growth.
Yeah, I'm in like a much different headspace than she is, and I'm not gonna judge hers, but I can just say that I've grown in a way where like I'm different from how I was before. And
you know, like the way I see it when it comes to like that situation that you're talking about, it's not that you've grown, it's not that she's grown, it's just that in life there's a million ways to grow. Mm-hmm. You guys just grew on different branches.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys are no longer, you know, you guys are on the same tree, just no longer on the same branch anymore. You guys got your own shit. Mm-hmm. Life dealt you guys a hand and you guys managed to deal with it your way.
Yeah, but like ever since everything happened, the relationship dynamic has been different, especially with, you know, like it's like how you said sometimes it changes, but you don't know how to tread in the relationship because you don't know how they are and they don't know how you are as a person.
Yeah, but that goes for everything. That goes for everyone, right? Even for someone like Justin and Annie and I, we all have life dealt differently for us. Mm-hmm. But the way we tread, it's still as careful as possible, but we still have our friendship. Mm-hmm. And that's how life is.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you got to understand that everyone's going to grow in life differently. So you can't, you know, and this goes to a lot of people that judge people's lifestyles, right? Is you can't judge until you know the full story. And when you know the full story, you'll know why they grew that way. And it goes the same for you. It goes the same for me. It goes the same for everyone that is listening. Is that everyone has their own shit. And sometimes you just don't know how to deal with it. And sometimes you're too young to deal with it. Sometimes you're not mentally mature enough to deal with it. Mm-hmm. With you, you were lucky because
I had you to nip me in the butt.
Well, that and I don't want to say lucky too. I think lucky and unlucky at the same time because
yeah, no.
At a young age, you were dealing with your dad's passing and then everything that your mom and your family had. But even at such a young age, you had to deal with it in a mature way because I was there and I was dealing with everything in a mature way because that's the only way I knew how to deal with it because I was at an age where I had to deal with it that way. I couldn't deal with it like a kid.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, our age difference really... I don't want to say it is now, but sometimes it is. But more so at the beginning of our relationship, the age difference really was a huge factor for our relationship, especially with how I dealt with my dad passing away and then, you know, my baby sister and all that. Age plays a huge role in, you know, a relationship.
It does.
Because and we've talked about it many times too, where at that age, you know, like you were 22, I was 16. Yeah, 16. I'm just, you know, I'm still in high school. I'm kind of just finding myself, figuring out that part of life where you've already finished it. You've pretty much done whatever you wanted you know, living the bachelor life, but now thinking about, you know, long term, okay, marriage, you know, but also for yourself personally, where you are or where you want to be in your career. And so it was that age difference really took a toll on our relationship, and for me too, because
I think age will always play a role. Always take a toll and play a role in our relationship, because even now it takes that toll and it takes that role, right? Because, and what I mean by that is I'm 28, 29 now, and where I am in my career is not even where you're starting, because you're just going back to school now.
Yeah.
And so age does play that role, because now you almost feel like you need to hurry it up.
Yeah, I do.
And, you know, it's always like I've said to you, is age doesn't play a huge role for me, because I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care for me. When I look at you and I as a couple, as a married couple, I look at us as a married couple, but you are still you. I am still me. Mm-hmm. When I look at myself and my career, I don't think you and me, I think me.
No, but like what I mean by that, and just in general too, it's not just about us, is that to make decisions together as a couple, not like individually, we have to be on the same page, because if we don't, like if we're not on the same page on certain things, that's where we clash and we're like, okay, we can't do this. Like, for example, you know, like at the beginning, you know, before we got married, it was marriage, we weren't on the same page in certain things. That's what I mean. It's like age plays a huge role together when it comes to things for
the both of us.
For the both of us. But if it's separate, yeah, no. Like, you're doing you, me, I'm just doing myself, because our work don't intertwine. Unless it so happens to later on down the line, you know, if you need my help or I need your help. But career-wise, we're good. But together, as a couple, we need to be on the same page. That's why age is a huge factor.
Yeah. No, and that I can agree with. And it's not easy, you know. It's hard, because it's almost like making a compromise, the both of us having to make compromises to meet in the middle.
Yeah, because our age gap is big in terms, because it's 6 years, but 6 years is a lot, because for me, like at the beginning of our relationship, it was hard because, you know, like 16, 17, and then like each year passing by, I'm getting older, but you yourself are also getting older. But it never seems that like I'm catching you. Like, it never seems like I am running fast enough to catch up in, you know, certain aspects of our relationship, so that like I can meet you there as well. And so it was really hard because I didn't know what I'm doing, you know, like I didn't even have my first job. I didn't understand the value of money, the like how important family is. Like, it's just like XYZ. I couldn't understand that, but I had to, because of where you were in, you know, that part of our relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and that goes back to, this goes back to the whole, like, what do you say and what do you not say?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always try to tie in thing. I always try to tie that kind of stuff into every aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the hardest part, was what do I tell you and what do I not tell you? How do I teach you certain things? What do I not teach you? Because a lot of this can be taught when you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So do I just let you fail? Or do I let you, or do I tell you a little bit here so that you can anticipate what's going to happen and figure out what's going to happen for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to, you know, also my job, you know, like, what do I not tell my people? What do I tell my people?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, I think it's hard. It's extremely hard when it comes to, it's extremely hard when it comes to knowing what to say and what not to say.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, for like our career wise, you know, this job, this company, you know, when you had your artists, you aren't about giving free passes. And it's not that you don't want to teach, you do, but at the same time, you're more so, okay, I'll let you do it on your own, try it out first, and if you need my help, come talk to me. Or here's a general outline or like hints of, you know, what direction you should take. But you're not about like telling the person like every single thing how to do it, because you don't learn anything.
You know what it is? Because like when I look at my company, I look at my company as something of a reality. Mm-hmm. Because the entertainment industry is so shady.
Yes.
They hide a lot. And when I mean they hide a lot, they just don't tell you shit. They don't tell you anything. Here's a contract, sign it. And then here's your advance, here you go. And then it's like, what do I do now? But with my artists is, you know, I always say to them is, you plan everything on your own. This is your project. This is what you see in your head. Mm-hmm. So you plan it. I will come in and I will assist you in every way possible. I will assist you financially. I will assist you with production. I will assist you with pre-production, post-production. I will assist you in every other way that I can. But I need you to do this so that you understand what the real world is like. Because out there, if you don't know, someone's going to fucking cheat you. Someone's going to fucking take from you. These are your ideas. Do it the way you want to. Be happy with the results. Be happy with your results. Mm-hmm. Don't be angry at me because the results weren't where you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I look at my life, and that's the way I look at everything. Is Statues Collective, and that's why I named the company Statues Collective. That's why I named the podcast Statues Podcast. It's because When people do something in their life that is memorable, when people do something in their life that is so impactful, and you build a statue, that statue is a representation of everything that person meant. Everything. You know, someone that I look up to, right, is Bruce Lee. But I see what people don't understand is I don't look up to Bruce Lee as a human. I look up to Bruce Lee because of all of his philosophies in life. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lee is a human, man. We're all going to fuck up and make mistakes. We're all going to do something fucking stupid in our life.
Yep.
That's the reality of it, is that we're fucking humans. You're going to fucking fuck up in life. You're going to do something stupid. You're gonna do shit. And if I look at Bruce Lee for, you know, cheating on his wife and all that kind of shit, then he's not a good guy. Mm-hmm. But I look at him because of his philosophies and what he's built out of his philosophies, what he's done with his philosophies. So when I look at his statue, I'm looking at everything that he had done with his legacy. And so at the end of the day, that's what the Statues Collective is. That's what the Statues Podcast is. It's the many people in life that have built something for themselves. The legacies that they had built out of their failures, out of their successes, out of their own two hands, mm-hmm. that they've built. Now, let me be able to share that story, whether it be through video content or audio content. Mm-hmm. Let me build it the way I know how to build it. Because at the end of the day, there are so many unsung heroes that are not out there being heard. And this goes back to the clip. These people need to be heard. There are certain things that you say and you don't say. And there are certain things that these people have to say that should be said. Because what they have to say is going to impact generations after generations after generation. A lot of, you know, when I look at what I do for a living, motivation is 1% of what I do. The other percentage is discipline, and the other percentage of it is failure. Mm-hmm. Discipline and failure. The discipline of failing and getting back up. Failing and getting back up. And what people don't see is me failing. What people see is me getting back up all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need people to see, is see me get back up. You don't need to know what my failures were, but see me get back up, because that's life. You have your first kid, you're going to fuck up that kid. Trust me, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. But at the end of the day, you're gonna get to a point where you look at that kid and you're going to be like, damn, you turned out great.
That's true.
Okay? Like, and I'm extremely, I look at Anna and I'm extremely proud, because Anna is a representation of that for me, where it's like, I look at Anna and she was born out of the love that she had in that family when everyone was there.
I know.
And at the end of the day, that's all it took. Love. Love, compassion, and determination. Mm-hmm. Nothing was about being motivated, okay? If you want to be motivated, you're in the wrong career. Mm-hmm. Motivating doesn't do shit all. You know, like, I went to go see, I can't remember what year it was, but I went to go see a guy named Trent Shelton when he came down.
In 2014.
Yeah, so he came down in 2014 and I went to go see him. And, you know, now that I think about it, yeah, it was great to hear an actual motivational speaker. It was great. You got to see life. But it's also why I do this podcast, because it wasn't about being motivated. It was just about being able to hear perspective. Mm-hmm. Yo, let me hear someone's perspective so that when I look at my life, I can figure out what the fuck is wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes different perspectives, not sometimes, all the time, I think is great, because sometimes you think that you have seen it all or have not known all, but, you know, like you pretty much have seen everything that, mm-hmm. that you can. But when someone comes in with a fresh perspective, you're like, oh shit, like, I didn't know that, or I wasn't expecting that. You yep. know what I mean? So I feel like having perspective on everyday life is great, because you never know if maybe, you know, it could help you maybe change the way you see things or make you realize maybe the way I'm going about this is not right. Mm-hmm. You know,
perspective is better than motivation. Mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, because, like, I remember, right, is you would always see me give to homeless people and you would ask me why. And so when I gave you my perspective on it, you kind of understood. And that's all I like doing, is giving people perspective. Mm-hmm. Because the reason I do certain things is not for the same reason other people do it. When people give to homeless people, it's because they're just, oh, here, get out of my face. Mm-hmm. But for me, I give to homeless people regardless if they're homeless or not, regardless of if I'm being scammed or not. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, what I'm doing, I have my own reasons to do so. So whatever happens, happens. The moment it's out of my hands, it's out of my hands. And, you know, and that's the way I've looked at my life, and that's the way I've looked at certain things and philosophies in my life, is that right now I have a legacy that I'm trying to build. But along with building this legacy, I'm also trying to live in the moment, every moment that I have, so that I can enjoy every moment while building this legacy, so that this legacy has perspective.
Yeah.
So that one day when people look at Statues Collective, they're going to look at Statues Collective. And those that knew what Statues Collective was before it was Statues Collective, they'll see it that way, because it's all about perspective. Mm-hmm. They'll see it for being DNV Entertainments. They'll see it for being whatever it was to them. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've ever wanted, was at the end of the day, you know, I'm never going to forget anything that I've done. But I also don't need to tell people anything that I've done. There are going to be many other people out there that will tell you, that will tell them for me. Mm-hmm. That's the end goal, is that I don't need to tell people. Let my work speak for itself. Let me work extremely hard. Let me work so hard that, you know, the book that I want to write is up on the shelves in every book, in every bookstore, so that when these people that talk shit about me walk into a bookstore, the book name isn't going to be something else. The book name is going to be The Life of Da Nang Vang, so that they understood, oh shit, it's not going to be Statues Collective by Da Nang Vang. Fuck that. It's going to be The Life of Da Nang Vang. You know why? Because my name is going to be the thing that people see. My picture is going to be the first thing that people see. Mm-hmm. That's what my legacy is about. Let me build Statues Collective, because when people see these people that I help, and you go to them and like, wow, congratulations, you know, you did this with your life, you did that with your life, they'll hear from them that I couldn't have done it without Da Nang. Mm-hmm. Because that'll speak more for itself than anything else.
Yeah.
We all know Scooter Braun for Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande. You know why? Because he didn't have to speak a single word. He let his artists do it for him. And at the end of the day, that's what life is about. I ain't going to say a single word. I'm going to just work my ass off until I can and achieve what I want. And achieve everything that I want. From the bottom all the way to the top. So that when I get all the way to the top, I've affected everyone at the bottom too. I'm not going to forget. And I'm not going to divert my attention to something else. Right now, I have my attention on this one thing, and that's the one thing that I'm going to work hard at. Mm-hmm. This podcast is a means for me to just speak my mind, speak it all. And this is the one time where I can say what the fuck I want, because it's a podcast. I'm allowed to. Mm-hmm. But even during podcasts, I hold back a lot. I don't say certain things, or I keep certain stories to myself. You know, it's like you and I, we've said so many times, we're surprised that we're at like, what, 47, 48 episodes so far? Mm-hmm. And we've been able to continuously do this because we didn't think we had this much to say or this many stories.
Uh-huh, or that many people wanting more.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know what? Like, I'm hella excited. I'm hella excited to do a podcast now because there's so much to say.
Yep.
And that's what people don't understand, is that when you're doing what you love to do, yo, you don't need to tell people. You'll find something like a podcast. You'll find something like making YouTube videos. You'll find something in your life where you're able to say what you want to say through that instead. Mm-hmm. And there will be people that are there and people that are listening and people that will appreciate it. And that's all it is, look, you and I were being appreciated by our viewers and our listeners. And that's all I've ever wanted, was to be appreciated and not looked down upon. Because at the end of the day, you know what? The Statues Podcast, the Statues Collective, it all stands for the same thing. And it stands for the people that are listening that will do better and have better and will become successful in their life. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say thank you to all the listeners and viewers. So far, you know, it's like we've said, we're very surprised to have come this far.
Yep.
We're almost at 50 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And to have come this far means quite a bit. We're discovering new things about ourselves. We're learning new things from each other. And we hope to continue doing this for a very long time. Yeah. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. All the links will be down in the description. This is your host and your co-host signing off. Thank you.